Congregation, the scripture reading for tonight you will find in the Gospel according to Luke. We will begin in chapter 17, verse 22. Continue in chapter 18 till verse 14. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verse 22 to 18, verse 14. The word of the Lord. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus, that is Christ, unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and a stub in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? And he said to them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he willed not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he will bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in himself, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eye unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, there is a hymn with these words. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yes, maybe there are times that we share our burdens with other people who sometimes may disappoint us, or it seems that they do not listen what we really want to say. And we have needless pain and hurt we bear, all because we do not carry everything, time and again, persistently to God in prayer. A God who promises here, in the parable of Luke 18, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Which brings us to the passage we want to meditate this night with the help of the Lord. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8a. And the parable is sometimes called the parable of the unjust judge, but maybe it is better to call it the parable of the persistent prayer of the widow. And therefore the theme for tonight is a persistent prayer. Three brief main points arising from this parable, as it speaks about the posture of prayer, the petition of prayer, and in the third place, the promise of prayer. The posture, the petition, and the promise of prayer. Congregation, this parable is found in the midst of the discourse on the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of heaven. That is the larger context. For example, Luke 13. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, it begins small, but it becomes very large. It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nest in the branches. The kingdom of God is of great value, which is illustrated by the parables of the hidden treasure, or the parable of the pearl of the great price. Or for example, in Luke 14, the invitation to this kingdom of heaven, the parable of the great banquet. Come. Also tonight, for everything is ready. Oh yes, many, many have excuses after excuses, but it does not stop the king to bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame, and those who have no helper. But Christ speaks also how to live in that kingdom, now already. Aspects of living as citizens of that kingdom. Of how to live out of forgiveness. For example, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Or how to show practical love as citizens of that kingdom. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And how to be persistent in prayer. And for example, we find that in Luke 11 already, in the parable of the friend at night. A friend who eventually agrees to help his neighbor due to his persistent demand rather than because they are friends and despite the late hour and the inconvenience of it. Which we also find this persistency, this theme of persistency in our text chapter, Luke 18, the parable of the persistent prayer of the widow. A widow seeking justice and a judge who lacks compassion but gives her justice, avenges her due to her persistent, continual coming to him. And so, congregation, the question also for us tonight is already, how is your and my prayer life? Persistent? Constant? Tireless? Without ceasing? Yeah. Called into the kingdom of heaven by grace. Brought in with great patience and compassion by the gracious King Jesus. And not in prayer, always, constantly, persistently. And he spoke a parable to them to this end, to this effect, that men always ought always to pray and not faint, not to lose heart. What an encouragement. Pray always. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary. That is Christ's encouragement to those in the kingdom of heaven, which begins here on earth. What a reminder. And particular in the immediate context of these text words. Luke 17, trouble will come, trials will come, there will be a time, like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Lot, like we see in our world today. It seems that we live in a world of unending calamities, a world of pain and hurts. And we hear about sexual abuse, not only in the Roman Catholic Church or the Southern Baptist Churches, sad and grievous as it is. In a world of broken and strained relationships. In a world of challenging marriages. In a world of injustice and suffering. In a world of temptation and trespasses. So begins Luke 17, to which the apostles ask the Lord, plead with the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. And congregation, if the disciples of Jesus ask him this, how should we, in the times in which we live, with our children and grandchildren? Because congregation, if anyone thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. That our prayer might be, Lord, increase our faith. Which Christ answers with this parable. With these words to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Particular in challenging times, even times of suffering, in times of injustice, to follow the footsteps of Christ? So the apostle reminds us in Philippians 1, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Do we see that always? When you go through difficult times in your life, maybe you ask, why, Lord? Why me? But so often, congregation, I think we tend to forget that living in the kingdom of God by grace, pure grace, will bring suffering and injustice. As Christ told his disciples, and also as tonight in the world, you will have tribulation. And he did not say that only in the time of Jesus to his disciples, but he says that to each of his children even today. Yes, he also said, be of good courage, cheer up, always pray, and not to lose heart. Let us never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Now you may ask, how? This is our first point, the posture of our prayer. And I do not mean tonight the position practiced in prayer, bowing or kneeling or standing or prostrating or with raised hands, as we find in Scripture, but the attitude of prayer, as we find it in this parable. Because what is going on in this parable in the setting of the Middle East, the cultural setting of the time? You have to picture a noisy, busy room with a judge and clerks and people who want their case or claim to be heard. And very often, it was only a way of bribing the court clerks that would result in speeding up a hearing by the judge. And always, women were represented by men. When women were not counted in the society, women were not heard. And widows? They were completely helpless, powerless, defenseless, no rights. And now we read in this parable, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, to that judge, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And she kept coming to him, pleaded her case, whatever it was, it is not mentioned, saying, give me justice. I think not only Jesus' example, his parable, is he countercultural and progressive for its time. In a male-dominant society, while the parable is speaking of a helpless widow. But I think it is also illustrative and instructive of our coming to the Lord in prayer. Because here is one who is helpless, who is in desperate need. There is none to help. Disadvantaged. No rights. Is that our prayer life? Coming to the Lord as a people in need, in desperate need, deserving nothing, unworthy, as one who knows something of a desperate cry, as we find it in Isaiah 63, and I looked, and there was none to help. Like that man in John 5 telling Jesus, sir, I have no one. When the disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answered, he points to a helpless, innocent child. One who has to be carried, cannot do anything by him or herself, in need of help. And Jesus, he welcomes them. This poor man cried. This widow cried. This man, woman here tonight, this young father, this young mother here tonight cries. But it is the Lord who hears and will save them out of all troubles. Jonathan Edwards preached in 1738. Sometimes it is that some saints have met a great deal of darkness, and God has been pleased much to hide his face from them. And he sees it best for them to meet with them a great deal of spiritual trouble and difficulty. And God knows how to bring light out of darkness, and God commonly does that in this world. But sometimes the day does not dawn till death. And then the day dawns, and the sun rises, never to set more. Therefore, we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. So often, and maybe you recognize this, there is so little time spent with the Lord in prayer. We are so busy in our life. That it is work or study or our schedules or meetings or running errands. And when we come to the Lord, so often it is a list of needs and wants, and even feeling sometimes a degree of entitlement. But now to come to Him as one who deserves nothing. Helpless. As a people who are in need. Coming as a poor and a needy one. None to help. But Jesus. Every time we turn to the Lord in prayer, we acknowledge our desperate needs. Prayer accentuates our helplessness and acknowledges that we cannot do it. How often we think prayer as a strength in the believer's life, but do we see prayer as our desperate and dire need for help? What we see in the verses following this parable concerning the Pharisee and the tax collector. The one prays about his abilities and competencies. And the other pleads and pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And who went home justified? Like this widow, in desperate need. And so all who come to the Lord, as we read in Jeremiah 22, he judges the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well. Oh, who will all our sorrows share? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Our second point, the petition. Avenge me of my adversary. Give me justice. So the widow said to the unjust judge. So the petition is here for justice. That is the reason for the persistent prayer of the widow. Yes, we can pray for mercy. We can pray for forgiveness. But what about justice? Justice is about right relationships. It is to reflect the character of God. A congregation to speak in a God-centered, biblical way about justice cannot, but we have to speak about sin and and the Savior. First, if we understand what sin is, we have to understand what our sin is. And we know that in a world full of sinners, the fundamental saying of justice is, the soul who sins shall die. But a true Christ-centered understanding of justice begins in dust and ashes. When we confess with hands over our mouth, none is righteous. No, not one. Justice begins with repentance before a righteous God. Young people, never forget there is an objective standard of meaning and morality in this world. A standard of justice, of God's justice. The one who defines and loves justice. The one who calls to justice. To whom justice belongs. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. So Isaiah reminds us. If that is not considered, then life is meaningless. There is absolutely no right or wrong. Everything is a matter of opinion. As C.S. Lewis highlights this point when he writes, a man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. So with our sins, we miss the mark with God who has to punish our sins. The Lord says by Jeremiah, I will punish as your deeds deserve, declares the Lord. I myself will punish you for your sinfulness, says the Lord. That is an objective truth. But do you know this now subjectively, personally? As we mentioned in our prayer, if thou, O Lord, mark my iniquity, who can stand? But justice demands to realize, to experience, no one, none of us can stand. The experience standing before the judge of the world with an heaven high sin and guilt. And then, to whom else shall you go? But remember, a God-centered justice speaks also about a Savior, Christ. Because the clearest display of God's justice of sin is seen on the cross. Where Christ on the cross, the apostle said, he has become our justice. God made him to be sin, who know no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, to be just before God. Justification, right with God for Christ's sake. The most definitive justice that any society has witnessed was when Jesus suffered the full wrath and justice of God's judgment for the sins of the elect. The only Savior who satisfied God's justice. And that is the good and the gospel news also tonight, that we deserved nothing, but God gave everything, His Son, a Savior for sinners, for such a people as you and I. It is only in Christianity, young people, where justice and mercy meet at the cross. It tells us there is no delay in God's justice, a justice that you and I deserved. And yet, mercy was offered to those who do not deserve it, for Christ's sake. Till on that cross as Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Your sin, past, present and future. On him was laid. And then to experience personally, when he reveals himself to your soul, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that personally? Not only your grandfather or your grandmother or your mother, your dad or your mom. But do you know, with all your sins, clinging to the cross, bought with the precious blood of Christ, being justified by faith, then you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that my sins were judged in Christ. That is undeserved, unmerited, amazing grace. And should that not make every child of God be dispensers and distributors of justice, generously, abundantly, richly, in a world that cries for justice, in a world with pain and hurt and rejection and discrimination, for the people with desperate needs? Oh yes, one may speak of forgiveness and mercy, but mercy without justice, or at the expense of justice, is not mercy at all. It would leave us deformed and incomplete, and there is no closure. And it would mean that injustice would continue, and neither of these outcomes is merciful. And therefore, in a world with many cries for justice and many more silent cries of justice, the cries of the destitute refugees, the cries of marriage problems, and it seems that no one hears these cries. And for such a troubled world, Christ told them and tells us tonight a parable to the effect that we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Oh yes, we hear the psalmist crying prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication in thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Or with the psalmist of Psalm 27. Lord, hear me when I cry, and answer me in grace. A persistent prayer, the posture, the petition, and in the third place, the promise. This promise we find in the text verse of the parable, the verses 7 and 8a. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. The judge who neither fears God nor respects men initially refused but said, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Congregation, what a contrast with the words of the Lord, the judge of heaven and earth. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The two questions. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And the answer is yes. He will give them justice. He will hear. Will he delay long over them? And the answer is no. Er is een God. Er is een God in heaven. Who hears the cry of his people and acts upon it. It shows us the heart of God. That he is a God as a father to the fathers and a defender of the widows. He takes up their calls. He promised them when they cry out to him in distress, I will surely hear their cry. Maybe for a people tonight in our midst who say or sigh, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God. Have you not heard? Do you not know? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heaven and the earth, faints not, and neither is weary. Lift up your heads. Here is a God who let us know, I know what is going on in your life. I know your circumstances. I know your troubles and trials, but come to me. Come to me, you weary ones. You are who are bowed down, heavy-laden ones, but come to me. Are we weak and heavy-laden, cumbered with a load of care? Here is one who sits at the right hand of the Father, even now, and intercedes, who prays for thee, that thy faith fail not, even a weak faith, a struggling faith, and in a time of unbelief. That there is an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who pleads the cause of each of his children by the Father, whose requests are never rejected for his sake, for his complete and finished work accomplished. O precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. And the text even says, Christ says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedingly. Now you may say, is it not always experienced speedingly? Maybe you are waiting all for a long time. And maybe you think the Lord does not hear my prayers. But if he rendered these words from the original as he will execute justice, he acts upon it, surely and suddenly. And that there may be two things that we may learn by grace. The first is this, that the Lord hears and he acts. He will give justice. He executes justice. It will be done. It is sure. And secondly, it will be done suddenly, maybe unexpectedly. As similar to what the apostle writes in 1 Thessalonians, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that is the day of judgment, the day of justice, will come as a thief in the night. You never know, but he surely comes. Oh, what a comfort for a persistent prayer. The Lord is at work, even when you do not experience. Like our perspective in timing compared to God's is completely different. This analysis to, say, a two-year-old with an adult. And sometimes God has good reasons for making us to wait a long time to see some answered prayers answered. But Spurgeon remarks, when prayer is long in the answering, it will be all the sweeter in the receiving, like fruit which is well ripened by hanging longer on the tree. And then at times, to rise from prayer with this comfort and confidence, I have brought everything to the throne of grace, and he has heard my cry, and I will I leave it all by him. Fear not, because your prayer is stammering, or your words are feeble, or your language is poor. The Lord can understand you. I read in the, while preparing the sermon, all the petitioner's wants shall be supplied, because it is a throne of grace. Suppose I come to the throne of grace with the burden of my sins. There is one on the throne who felt the burden of sin in ages long gone by and has not forgotten its weight. Suppose I come loaded with sorrow. There is one on that throne who knows all sorrows to which we can be subjected. When I'm depressed and distressed, or when I fear that God himself has forsaken me, there is one on that throne who once said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is a throne from which grace delights to look upon the miseries of us with a tender eye, to consider them and to relieve them. Oh, come then, come then, come to the Lord in prayer. Captive ones in our midst, through your temptations, come in your chains. You who sit in darkness, come forth where all blindfold as you are. This throne of grace will look on you if you cannot look on it, and will give to you though you have nothing to give in return, and will deliver you though you cannot raise a finger to deliver yourself. Having this confidence, this peace, this rest, this trusting, he truly will take care in his way and at his time. Even at times when he tolerates oppression and disappointments and troubles and trials for a long time. But time and time again, persistently casting your burdens on the Lord, and then to experience, and he will sustain you. And therefore Christ reassures us, I tell you, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It will not be in vain. Jonathan Edwards reminds us, let the godly take encouragement from hence in their prayers to come boldly to the throne of grace and to come frequently. It will be your delight to you to come to a God that is so ready at all times to hear and to grant you whatever you desire that tends to your happiness. Let those that are in affliction and in difficult circumstances, either in body or mind, be encouraged to go to a God, and let their request be made known to him. Coming to him will not be in vain. And that only and because of that one gripping day in history, in the deepest trial, when the Father did not answer his son, when he called, my son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you, whatever your trial may be, are never forsaken by him who promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, Jesus was so persistent in prayer throughout his life on earth. He taught his disciples to pray. He healed people with prayers. He denounced corruption of the temple worship, the temple who should be a house of prayer, and insisted even that some demons could be cast out only through prayer. It is Christ who prayed often and regularly with fervent cries and tears. We learn from Hebrews 5. And he prayed sometimes all night. And the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him while he was praying. And when he faced the deepest crisis, he did so with prayer. And we hear him praying for his disciples and the church on the night before he died and petitioned to God in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And finally, he died praying and truly and deeply experienced trouble is near and there is none to help. And for who? For who? For the people like you and me, who often lack the persistency of prayer. And when life goes smoothly, our truest heart treasure seems safe and it does not occur us to pray. But to take refuge in him, always. There was a sacrifice in the morning and the evening, a continual burnt offering. Matthew Henry says here, we are bid to pray always and to pray without ceasing. This is intended at least every morning and every evening we offer up our solemn prayers and praises to God. Oh, what a Savior. Still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. This ever praying, interceding high priest, this blessed Savior, Christ and him alone. Do you begin to see what a privilege it is to carry everything to the Lord in prayer? Therefore, he taught us this night, for this new week, to the effect, to the end, that we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Amen. Lord, we'll bless thy word, that we may practice a persistent prayer this week that lies before us. And to see this great and undeserved privilege that thou hast given us to bring everything, whatever is going on in our life, to bring everything to thee in prayer. Lord, forgive our sins in shortcomings, in speaking and in listening this night. Bless thy own work, that it may bring fruit in our lives, to thy honor and glory, the well-being of those around us, and that for Christ's sake alone. Amen.